Welcome to the VC HTTP API work item call. As a reminder to everyone, this is a group that's operating under the W3C Credentials Community Group. It is an intellectual property release protected call. What that means is that ideally you are a CCG member. You have signed the intellectual property release. And that means that anything you say on the call, you're effectively, putting forward into the group. You're saying it's okay for us to use those ideas and concepts. If you haven't done that, please refrain from contributing anything substantive, any kind of, algorithms, ways of solving a problem, that sort of thing. We use the queue to make sure that everyone gets a chance to talk. The way you get on the queue is you type the letter Q and then plus, so Q plus. That will put you on the queue. We will acknowledge you in the order that people go on the queue so that we can have a nice discussion throughout the hour. Okay, so that's the front matter. Just as a reminder to everyone, the things that we've been trying to do over the past couple of weeks is just establish a broader understanding of the VC HTTP API work. And we're trying to focus on concrete things that we can write down and document so that we can get everyone on the same page about what the VC HTTP API is about. There has been a lot of discussion on the mailing list about this, which has been good, I think, and fruitful. We are not going to rehash all of those discussions. There's an assumption here that people have been following along. We can touch on, some of the things said at a high level, but we're here today to look at concrete proposals that people have put forward. We're here to look at concrete use cases that we can look at and analyze. And again, what we're trying to do is move faster at documenting these things and sharing the knowledge all around. Let me stop there and see if anyone has any questions or concerns about anything I just said. Okay. If not, let's go ahead and jump into our first topic, which is specification structure proposals. What we've done over the past couple of weeks, and let me get this link to all of you as well. So in the chat channel, there's a wiki now with all the proposals that anyone in this work item has ever raised. The reason we do that is to just track everything so we can get around to everything. There are, of course, new issues that have been raised around some of these proposals. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out what the structure of the specification we're going to be working on is. There are really three proposals on the table. One of them is to have three separate specifications to start. Another proposal is to have one specification that has issuer, issuing, verification, presentation holder, whatever, in it. And then, the proposal that Adrian put forward, which is let's just start with issuer for now, and use that, as a starting point. So the first spec will be on issuer. We may add other sections to it. We may decide that, we're going to put, the new verifier API stuff in a different specification. We'll make that decision later. So those are the three proposals on the table now. The three different specifications got a lot of minus ones on the last call. So we're probably not going to go back and look at that. There's just doesn't seem to be any way that one's going to pass. So what we're trying to do is look at the, this is a one specification model. Either that specification has issuing verification, holder presentation all in it, or we're just going to start out with issuing to start, and we'll go from there. Let me pause there to see if anyone's got any input on those proposals. Go ahead, Adrian.
So I made a proposal that one to start with the issuer. But when it was written down, it included using as a starting point some current documentation about the current practice. And I kind of object to that, the introduction of the current status quo into the process. I can say why, but it doesn't really matter. So if we're going to vote on my most recent proposal, as opposed to the three separate ones, I'd like to discuss the language and whether we need to have reference to whatever the status quo is now before we vote. Thank you.
Okay. So let me go ahead and put your proposal in here, and then you can speak to how you would want it reworded. And remember, Adrian, we are looking for something that is not going to garner a whole bunch of objections. If it garners a whole bunch of objections, we're going to have to move on from it, right? So there we go. That's the proposal. Well, actually, hold on one second. Let me copy this into the Jitsi channel.
So while you're doing this, let me say a word of explanation. In the conversation we had in the thread, there was a desire on your part, maybe many others, including me, to parallelize as much of this process as possible. In other words, not to block on the use cases document while we start to work on a potential document specification or whatever. By not introducing the current client-server framework, we can unblock this and introduce this parallelism, right? Because we're not making any assumption about what the use cases are. And that is the logic for my proposal.
Could you put forward a concrete proposal that you'd like the group to consider?
Yes.
I have a hard time translating that into a concrete proposal.
Okay.
While you're doing that, Ori, you're up.
Yeah, so I agree with the intention behind what Adrian is saying. I want to start by saying that, like, if the goal is to talk about scope for moving credentials between issuers and holders and verifiers in general, then I do think it's a mistake to start with a description of a client-server architecture. However, this work item is a description of a client-server architecture over HTTP, and therefore I find it unfortunately dismissive of the existing work that we've all been engaged in for quite some time to essentially say, well, we're going back to the drawing board and the VC HTTP API might not be about HTTP. It could be about protocols that aren't client server oriented, you know, like messaging protocols or that kind of thing. I'm willing to work on those issues, certainly, but asking us to expand the scope of this work item to non-HTTP protocols will result in a severe minus one from myself. I think we need to be very focused on doing at least one thing well, and it's tough to support taking the word HTTP out of a work item that's about an HTTP API.
Adrian, you're on the queue.
So that's why in my version that I put up, HTTP is in there. I have no problem with that.
So to be clear, though, Adrian, you would like to not take the existing OS files into account when we create this document. You want the document to start out as a blank document.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I think we understand the proposal. I can run it now unless there's anybody else that would like to speak to it. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I just was going to offer, first of all, I have not signed the agreement, so I will limit on my substantive input, but I recognizing the process you've been trying to follow. I nonetheless support Adrian with his use case, and healthcare was the use case I'm interested in. So I'll just support Adrian as necessary. Also, actually, 12 to 18, because of the fact that
Pfizer vaccine. All right, Mike, you're up.
I can get off mute there. The question I had is, I just wanted a clarification. It says create a VC HTTP API specification for HTTP protocol for the purposes of issuing a verifiable credential. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure on the intent of that because it seems limited just to issuing. And is that like, I don't know. It seems odd to me compared to some of the other proposals we have, which basically say we want a respec, specification for HTTP around, verifiable credentials. So that's why I just need some clarity on why it specifically says issuing a credential.
The suggestion, Mike, was to start with issuing and then expand scope later on when it's obvious that we want to expand scope. So it's just, we're just starting super small. It doesn't mean that we'll end there. It's just, that's where we're going to start. We're going to start documenting the issuer API.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's helpful. Adrian.
If it helps, my reasoning here is, I am concerned at what point, to move to as early as possible a discussion of delegation, which may or may not require the use cases to be done first. I don't know. And also the conversation around what we might call the narrow waist of the API stack in general that we're working on in W3C and DIFF, and whether that narrow waist represents a messaging protocol like DIDCOM or an authorization protocol or both. And so when it comes to your issue of whether it said respec or not, and I took respec out of my proposal because I just don't understand what the implication is of putting respec in there. It's not that I'm against it. I just didn't understand. But anyway, I hope that's clear enough explanation, Mike.
So, Adrian, I've rewritten your proposal to make it clear that we will not – your proposal says do not use the OS files as inputs into this document. Is that acceptable to you? Because that wasn't in your proposal, and I think it's very clearly that's what you intend, right?
Well, I didn't mention it one way or another. Where's the – okay, let me see. Sure.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and run this. There's the proposal, plus one, minus one, as you see fit. I'll leave it hanging out there for a little bit. But at this time, Adrian, you can hopefully see that that proposal's not going to pass. At this point, Adrian, do you want to run your other proposal, assuming that we take the OAS files as input into and limit it to the issuer spec and use the OS files as the issuer OS files as input into the specification?
No, I haven't looked at what that would imply. And again, I would then move to wanting to work on the use cases first before working on the document.
Okay. Adrian, just a note that those OS files have existed for 15 months in the public. The group that's working on these, the implementers have been working on those, for a while. That you haven't read them by now is, it's unfortunate, but, we can't allow, people that are not keeping up with the work to, endlessly stop the group from making decisions, right? So, I think that's unfortunate, Adrian, but I don't think that's a reason to stop all proposals, on the specification. So at this point, you know, there has been, discussion on this, point on the mailing list. The proposals, and there's been quite a bit of discussion, Adrian, as you know, on the mailing lists. We have two proposals on the table. One of them is to do one specification with issuer verifier and then holder slash presentation in it. And the other one is your proposal that says, let's just start with issuer. So we're going to run those proposals, Adrian. Which one of those would you prefer to run? And if you have no preference, we'll just run both of them and see whichever one gets less objections.
I feel like I've made my case in the thread. I'm not sure exactly that it serves any particular purpose for me to revisit the issues that were discussed in the thread. If you want to note in the minutes that there is a thread where all of these things were discussed, then the chairs are going to do what the chairs are going to do. There's no reason for me to repeat what's already been discussed.
Okay, so let me find the link to that, Adrian, and put it in here. Let's see. The discussion around this item is here. Okay, and do you have a preference, Adrian, on which one we run? Do you want to run
your one that focuses on issuer? Manu, I have an objection to your language about my participation style, and I have an objection to being railroaded for no reason whatsoever as part of this process. Not just me, but I think others in the broader community. If this is going to need to move to the credentials community group as a whole, or to some kind of a steering committee issue, I'm happy to do that. I don't think it's necessary. I don't see the rush. I really do object to your language.
Okay. So does anyone on the call feel like, we have not considered, Adrian's, perspectives, and input, before making this decision? Go ahead, Ted.
This is not specifically about Adrian's input, but it is about what is feeling to me like a very broken piece of process. You referred to some files that have been, quote unquote, out in the open for 15 months, which I certainly haven't looked at in that time. There's also several months of work that has been done by some number of people who are on this call who've been referred to as we all and all of us, which doesn't include me, and I'm pretty sure doesn't include Adrian, and I don't know how many others it doesn't include. A commit history on the work item is immaterial to this. The CCG is a branch of W3 efforts. Yes, anybody can create a community group, but those are specifically open and public. The work that has been done under SVIP has not been open and public, has not been part of CCG, has not been part of anything W3, to my knowledge.
It has, Ted. Just to be clear, the CCG work item was created last January. So January 2020 was when the CCG adopted the work item. The OAS files existed there. They have been a work item for a year.
All right. Well, part of that is my fault for getting sick in January and being dead, basically out of commission for 9 months.
Yeah. Well, I guess the point that I'm making here is that, you know, from a process perspective, this work item has existed in the CCG for over a year now. The documentation has been there. We understand that there are people that are new to the process that are coming in here. And what we're trying to do is document all of this stuff so that it's easier for people to, understand what's going on here. And the primary thing we're trying to do is create a document where we can start writing this stuff down. right? That is the purpose of this proposal, is can we at least create a respec file where we can start writing some of this stuff down?
Okay. I guess the question really is, what is it that is trying to be written down? The way it's been discussed in the meetings that I have been present for have not been limited to HTTP, have not been limited to API, and have not been limited to VCs. So I have no hook on which to hang anything to consider it.
Or you're next.
So I want to address the criticism directly. I think Ted and Adrian are both correct in asserting that a GitHub history and being able to point to a group of GitHub contributors is a form of community engagement that is not accessible to everyone. And Heather has done a really tremendous job of trying to address this. This work item actually predates her becoming chair, and a lot of the process improvements that have been added since then to try and make work items easier for folks to contribute to who don't have tremendous experience on GitHub. So I think what Ted and Adrian are saying is that there's a style of contribution that this VC HTTP API could have enjoyed that wouldn't have been Git oriented. And I think what myself and Mike and some of the other contributors are saying is, yes, we really welcome that contribution. That's exactly what we're trying to get to here on this call. And we're having it right now, right? This is a conversation. This isn't a async conversation over GitHub issues and pull requests. So I think we need to do a good job of continuing to create space for that style of contribution that isn't Git oriented, but we also need to acknowledge that the only work that's really happened on this in the last, you know, time frame has been Git oriented, and it is a failing of ours that that is the case, but it is nonetheless the case.
Right, thanks, Ori. Adrian, you're up, and then Mike, and then I'm going
to. Yeah, I just want to point out again that the unfriendly tone is unnecessary because I am not blocking the learnings and the work that's been done for the past 15 months. I'm just asking for us to zero base our documentation, whether it's in respec or any other thing, going forward. So again, it is unfair as a process matter to interpret what I'm saying that way. I'm doing the best I can to not block the process.
Mike.
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of jump in with my perspective, which might be a little unique because I jumped in and VC HTTP was already a thing. I had a need to exchange credentials and do things with credentials like issue and verify them over HTTP and a REST web service. And so when I first looked at it, all that existed was effectively an open API spec with a Swagger interface and no real readmes. As a developer, it was not approachable to me either, right? So this is not a problem that is unique to just making this the VC HTTP API approachable to non-developers. Like, it needs to be approachable, period, across the board. And that was my understanding, at least, of the intention of some of the proposals that had been put forth by saying, okay, there's a bunch of knowledge wrapped up in people's heads that have been collaborating and committing to these API specs over time. How can we get that out in the open and document that up into an actual specifications file? And Adrian, I'm personally, like, I'm not getting the sense that you're trying to block forward progress on this. I get the sense that it's like, I'm trying to understand what this even is, et cetera. And I think that's totally valid because I still feel that way kind of myself, right, on aspects of this. But I do think we have to, like, my intention at least is get to the point where we can all agree that can we say that there is a need to do things with VCs over HTTP and, you know, REST services, because that's how this started. And can we put a document in place that describes what's being done? now, because we have specs that we're all, that multiple folks are coding to and have implementations to, right, from an open API standpoint, can we get that on paper? And then we have a place to actually hash out, what does this actually mean? How can we adjust it? How can we make it better? And so that's, you know, at least that's my understanding of the goal here, is like, how can we get this in a forward progress and go back and fix, while we can never fully fix errors that were made previously, how can we get to this, to the point where we're not repeating those errors, right? And not falling down further into the trap that, you know, folks like Ted are rightfully calling out as serious, serious issues with, you know, how this work was conducted previously.
Ted, why don't you go, and I'm going to run both proposals after you go. You're muted, Ted.
Sorry, I think I got accidentally re-added to the queue, but I will just say there is a need to transfer VCs and other related things over various protocols, including HTTP and REST-based stuff, and it would be better, in my opinion, to cover the general case and have the specifics of VCs and HTTP as the core exercise, if you will. Right? Typically, when a spec is built, there's some kind of example stuff that goes into it. And if there's something that's destined for multiple protocols, one protocol is discussed as, here's one that way to do it. There is no reason why HTTP and VCs can't be that example core, but the de facto limitation to those things is problematic.
All right. Thanks, Ted. And again, a reminder that, you know, just because we're starting somewhere does not mean that we can't expand from there, right? Here's the draft proposal. This is Adrian, your draft proposal that was put out to the mailing list. I have modified it to make it clear that we will use the current open API specification as input. It is focused on just issuing. So we're going to start with a specification that is only going to do VCHP API issuing. And then later we may expand scope or split it out into a separate specification or, you know, things like that. Mahmood, to clarify, yes, it's a single document. We're starting off with a single document. If there are no modifications to that proposal, I'll go ahead and run the proposal. Okay, seeing no modifications, here's the proposal. And we'll run the other one that does all three after this. Holding for a couple more to come in. And then before resolving this, I'll run the other proposal to see if it gets more support. Here's the other draft proposal. This is the same one that we ran a week ago. Create one respec specification based on the OAS files in addition to separating the existing OAS files into modular components. So this is the one that got a whole series of plus ones. Adrian, you were the only minus one a bit ago. Hold on, wait, before you do a plus one, are there any modifications that folks would like to see there? Okay, seeing none, here's the proposal, plus one, minus one, plus zero. This one looks like I think it's getting a bit more support, as far as I can tell. Yep, this one's getting more support. Okay, going once, going twice. All right, that's resolved. We will create a respec specification and move the OS file stuff into it as documentation. Just to be very clear to everyone, that doesn't mean that everything's locked in and we're done and we're not changing it. All the content in the specification is up for debate. As is like, you know, any kind of CCG item. You know, it hasn't gone to a working group. It hasn't been, you know, it hasn't gone to an official recommendation. And so hopefully, you know, the folks that are coming in, and this is new to them, you will have time, to read up on the OS files. You will have time to read up on, the respec specification, raise issues, submit PRs, and that sort of thing, right? We're going to be working on this for a good long while. Okay. Thanks for that, everyone. I know that was, difficult. Let's go ahead and jump over to use cases. So folks have been, wanting to, discuss use cases to figure out, support, to figure out, you know, what the scope is, for this work item. So I thought we'd go ahead and, start out by looking at the use case template. And then looking at a couple of use cases, specifically looking at use cases that are clearly, you know, in scope, like hopefully most of the people on the call see it as an in scope thing. And then I'd like to take a look at one use case where it's probably not in scope. So we're going to switch over and talk about that in a bit. Adrian, you're on the queue.
As we talk about the use cases, and I know I've only contributed informally and not formally to the document, can somebody explain to us why this API spec is concerned at all about persistence of the verifiable credential? Or is it that I haven't read the OAS documents that I'm even saying that? So in other words, if we're talking about an API from at least the issuer perspective, as opposed to the holder, if a holder is involved, why are we talking about persistence?
Go ahead, Ori. You're on the queue.
That's an excellent question. So backing up to answer it, the first versions of this API in no way discussed persistence at all. And in fact, most of the endpoints that exist are stateless in the sense that they're basically an operation that happens, the result is returned, and no assumption around persistence is held. The first case of that, a violation of that, has come in the form of revocation list credentials, which have a state that is inherently stateful and that needs to be updated. And so as we added support, and by the way, the support and tests for those forms of credentials is very limited today. We just barely got any tests covering them. That is the first set of endpoints that start to ask the question of, can I change the state of a credential? And that implies that somehow the credential state is stateful. And that's the first instance of this. And it is not documented super well. The endpoint in particular that I'm referring to is the update status endpoint, and I'll share a link directly to it. To my knowledge, it is the only example of an endpoint in the specification OpenAPI spec docs today that is in any way stateful and in any way comprehends persistence.
Adrian?
Does revocation imply persistence? From what I understand about it, there are many ways to do revocation. I think there is one being proposed, which might be totally fine. But I don't see that, at least again, from the perspective of the issuer, that they have to persist a particular credential in order to revoke it.
There are some revocation use cases where the issuer must persist. So, for example, Credential Status List 2021 presumes that the issuer is managing some kind of bit string to do revocation. And when you revoke a credential, it has to update that bit string. So there is at least one use case where it is absolutely a requirement. But that does not hold for all types of revocation, just for a subset. Go ahead, Adrian.
So, but in this case, for example, it is the issuer that is persisting a copy of the credential they issued, not anybody else.
In this case, yes. Go ahead, Kyle.
Anyways, yeah. All I'm saying is we don't have a use case for talking about the API that requires persistence, whether revocation is relevant or not, because the API isn't necessary for the issuer to maintain their own copy of the VC they issued.
I was actually just going to add a use case that we've found with some of the people we've worked with. So the case that we found it's most useful to be able to store a credential is in the case when you're producing something like a registry. So the verifiable organization network is a good use case of this, where the issuer is acting on behalf to be able to publicly state credentials that exist. And these are public credentials that are being issued. So in the case of an education use case, being able to recognize that somebody has been a graduate of a particular university, and the ability today to be able to go to that university and ask for those credentials is available. And so being able to do that using the issue API, where you're issuing the credential to the student, but at the same time also able to publish the fact that they've received that university degree, is one use case where we found it's useful.
Great. Thanks, Kyle. Let's see who's up next. Joe, you're up.
Yeah, I just want to clarify one thing. And then I had also had a question about the API. So I think Adrian's question wasn't quite heard. In order to have a revocation, there needs to be a persistence around an identifier and its state as being revoked or not. It doesn't mean the issuer has to retain the VC in total in a persistent manager, right? So we don't necessarily have to store the VC to store the fact that it's been revoked. So there's a slight adjustment there. Does the API currently not handle a refresh endpoint? Because that would actually imply persistence.
It does not. We don't have that use case documented yet.
Okay.
All right. I put myself on the queue to share my screen and look at one of the first use cases. So just as a heads up, this is the use case document. I'll put this into IRC. This is the use case document. There is a use case template here at the top that people can use to fill stuff out. I've added a couple of use cases hold on 1 second. Alan Karp has added a number of use cases. So I thought we'd kind of take a look at these use cases. The hope and the idea and hope here is that the rest of the people on the call start filling out use cases, right? So, for example, the ones that were brought up on this call are really good use cases that we should you know, speak to. They are not documented right now, and if they're not documented, then you know there's not much you know more to talk about until we get a clear idea about that stuff. So I thought you know let's take a look. I went ahead and submitted a couple of these. Joe, thank you. Went in and noted that you know they were lacking in a variety of areas. I tried to take one of these and rewrite it to meet some of the things that Joe was saying. You know we needed to do. So maybe we can kind of go through this really quickly and then get some feedback. So this is one that probably it is a real use case. This is one of the DHS SVIP use cases. The other thing I'd like to do if we have enough time is go into and talk about a use case where it's probably pretty clearly out of scope and we might be able to put it out of scope today. Okay. So this use case is a digital permanent resident card use case. It's getting a digital permanent resident card. And I'll just go ahead and read. So Lana is an IT administrator, for the United States Citizenship and Immigration, Services digital permanent resident card program. She configures the USCIS website to issue digital permanent resident cards by utilizing industry standard issuer software. And setting up the appropriate HTTP API authorizations between systems. Legal permanent residents, upon receiving their physical card in the mail, are given the USCIS website URL, a login account, a PIN code that they may use to manage their account and pick up their digital permanent resident card. When Lewis, a legal permanent resident, requests his digital permanent resident card via the USCIS website, he authenticates using his login account, and a DID associated with his digital wallet. The USCIS website then connects to the digital card issuing server, which builds the verifiable credential permanent resident card using Lewis's account data, and then utilizes industry standard HTTP APIs to issue the permanent resident card as a verifiable credential. Lewis can then use his digital permanent resident card in online scenarios when he needs to prove his resident status, such as when applying for a job. There are three requirements that, you know, are identified here, verifying a DID auth presentation, API authorization, and then issuing a verifiable credential. I also took a shot at doing just a really simple flow diagram so people can understand what calls are being made and where the issuer and verifier APIs are. So let me stop there. Joe, is that closer to what you were looking for? Juan, anyone else that's in charge of the use cases document? Thoughts?
Sure. I'll chime in since I've given you a bunch of feedback, but then I do want to hear from Juan since he's taking the lead on the new document. This is a huge improvement. I mean, part of the thing that I hope to highlight to folks is when you get these additional details of what an actual person is doing and the flow through the work, then it informs things that you now need, know that you need to put in the API or support in the API. So this helped a lot compared to sort of the more simpler version you had had before. That said, all of the items here, I don't think are going to be hard to translate into like a real person in a real situation that's creating value, including the ones by Alan that he added. They're all really good task-based use cases, which will come out, right? You need to issue, you need to be able to revoke, you need to be able to do whatever, present. So this is a great start in that direction. And with that, I'll queue up Juan to see if he has any thoughts on it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think this is a really good paragon, and people who want to, convert one of these other use cases should feel free to use this pattern. Even if it wasn't originally their use case, as long as they leave the original in the document. And I also think that, the term industry standard API, is doing a lot of work here. And I think, part of the ambiguity here is that I think what one of the sort of basic intention things that's been a little hard to align on is, the industry standard API part. I think that's what this spec is trying to provide. It's like, if there are multiple stakeholders in a use case, that want to each take a part of the process, or if a use case spans multiple vendors or entities, this API is that neutral cross-vendor API that lets them hand things off to each other in a way that's sort of free of lock-in. And I think that might, you know, just to sort of emphasize that, the question of what assumptions are baked into HTTP or what business models are baked in, are a little orthogonal, because this is just trying to arrive at a maximally neutral industry standard API for use cases where HTTP is an appropriate way for vendors to pass things back and forth. So I just want to say, yeah, this is awesome. And just any use case that has multiple vendors, I think it's just good to emphasize the industry standard part, or to nuance that in different use cases. That could be really helpful to reinforce the sort of, design goals here. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Juan. Adrian?
I think this is a beautiful example of my concerns about the process, because in this very nicely described use case, as Joe said, we've introduced the idea that the permanent resident not only has whatever credentials they need in order to sign into the site, into the issuer's site, but is also providing a DID associated with his digital wallet. Now, if it is our express intent to bundle or to introduce this fact, which, for instance, we wouldn't necessarily want to do if we were talking about a COVID credential, the fact that the subject needs to meet certain requirements in order to receive this this verifiable credential, like having a DID and like having a DID wallet, then sure, it's a use case. I just don't know that it's maximally helpful to bundle these things together.
Joe, you're up.
I wanted to help sort of streamline some onboarding, I hope, here, in that each of these use cases are simple illustrations of how we expect the technology to support solving real-world problems. They are not mandates that all uses of this API have to have these requirements. This particular flow is a real use case that is likely going to be deployed very similar to this flow. I mean, it may evolve over the next couple of years, but this is a part of the DHS SVIP stuff. So these are how it is working. It's none of it is intended to say this is how you have to do it. In fact, the bowl of cherries that we're hoping to gather are all the different ways that people in different situations have different requirements. So a use case that doesn't have a DID as a subject would be welcome, right? So let's if this is missing an element that, that you think is important, Adrian, let's get a use case in that doesn't have, for example, DIDs as a subject so we can understand where that is particularly useful.
Kyle, you're up.
Adrian, to add on to that, would it be useful if I documented some of the use cases that we've explored around using traditional authentication mechanisms such as username and passwords to be able to go into this?
No.
And then it wouldn't? Okay.
No, here's the issue is that as a use case, if the government, if SVIP has an interest in restricting access to the verifiable credential to, for instance, a particularly certified wallet, like, for instance, FIDO use cases typically require a certificate of what the token, you know, from the token manufacturer. If that is the issue, then I would like for it to be added to the use case. In other words, I don't object to including this as it is. I'm just saying it's a badly documented use case if we don't include the reason in plain English as to why the DID and the DID wallet are there. And if those are added to the use case, then it's a beautiful use case. And yeah.
All right. Given that we have about 7 minutes left, we've got an input on this one. I'm going to move on to another one. So this is an example of a use case that is real and will almost, you know, more than likely be accepted as a valid use case, as in scope. Like this is, there's some variation of this that's in scope. I wanted to scroll down to, one that I think everyone would agree is out of scope, which is this obtain an authorization. So the expectation here, one of the issues with this use case is there's not a lot here. Obtaining an authorization, to use one of these API endpoints, is more than likely going to happen through some other interaction, some other standard, some other flow. Now, using that authorization to make a call, is very much in scope. So use an authorization is in scope, but obtaining an authorization is probably out of scope. So that's food for thought. Put yourself on the queue if you've got thoughts on that particular item. Juan, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to ask if a use case, if a longer version of a use case is already documented elsewhere in another CCG repo, such as SDS or something, is it bad form to link to longer versions of a use case? Like, for instance, to explain the part about why a DID wallet is assumed or why that use case has vendors that need DIDs or something.
Ted, go ahead.
I saw a number of gaps and confusing points in the first use case. surprised that's what I do. So my question is, how long is this document staying as a GDoc, or is it moving to GitHub? And if so, in what time frame? Just so I don't start doing a bunch of stuff here when it's about to move.
It is going to stay as a Google Doc for the foreseeable future until the group decides to move it. So we're trying to make it easy for people to provide use cases, and a Google Doc was, we decided last week that was the best mechanism.
Fair enough. And now, since I put myself on the queue a bit ago, there's more now because I see obtaining an authorization as, if you're going to be able to use it, then you've got to be able to get it. And that makes obtaining an authorization within scope.
Kyle, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to kind of explain how I saw the difference between use and obtain. So obtain, in my eyes, brings and elevates the API to a level where it has to be used in a protocol of sorts, whereas use and authorization allows it to remain within a back-end service and have a standardized back-end interface. And I just wanted to call that out as kind of a difference in why I see that it should be out of scope is because one is elevating the architecture to a secondary implementation methodology that may make it a little bit messier for us.
Joe, you're up.
Yeah, I think this is a great example where, although well-intended, the lack of specificity as to what the authorization is for is making this hard to understand. I can see both cases. If this is about an authorization for some other trust domain, i.e. so that you can get into your apartment building, then I think that starts to get weird. But if we're talking about authorizing access to the issuer infrastructure itself, i.e. which systems or which users are allowed to issue a credential under a particular authority, then in that case, those authorizations, I think, both have to be there. But if it's some third-party trust domain, I have less confidence that authorization at this level is the right place.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Noting the time, we've got about 2 minutes left. Let's talk a bit about next steps. So we have a use cases document and a number of use cases in here. Please start filling out the use cases that you feel are important. This is largely going to drive the scoping discussion. And so without use cases, it's hard for us to drive the scoping discussion. In parallel, we'll go ahead and create the respec document, just the template, without any content, just to get the structure there, and put in a pull request for that. So next week, we're going to talk about any use cases that are added between now and then. And then we're going to talk about, some of the structure of the, VCHP API, respec, document. That's it. Thanks everyone, for joining today. Have a great weekend and we'll see you next week.
Cool. Thanks, Manu.